Alrighty, welcome back to the lunch table. This is Francis. I'm here by myself today because AJ is having internet issues. But we are going to be going over the NFL offensive free agents thus far and a quick rundown of their contract situations. I'm also going to give everybody a quick explanation to some free agent contract lingo and some vocabulary that you might not be aware of. Hopefully that everybody walks away a little bit more knowledgeable or learning something that they didn't know prior, so that you can understand some contracts from your favorite NFL teams and from your favorite NFL players. So we're going to start first and foremost with quarterback Baker Mayfield going through his age 29 season with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a 3-year contract with a total of $100 million, a $33 million average salary, $15 million guaranteed. And the first vocab we're going to talk about is the word cap hit. So, cap hit is pretty simple. Everybody knows what the cap space is. It's the total number or amount of money that teams allowed to spend on the top 51 players on roster. So, everybody after the top 51 players in order of cap hit don't count towards your NFL cap space. So Baker Mayfield is the number 22 quarterback ranked in cap hit and the number 8th ranked in cap hit on his team. So cap hit is just how much of their salary is counting towards the actual cap space itself. So Baker Mayfield in year one is making 1.1 million base salary with a 28.9 million signing bonus, 10.7 million cap hit. So it's for the first season in the NFL, only 10.7 million is counting towards the cap space for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 40 million in dead cap. So dead cap is the next one I want to talk about. Dead cap is the amount of guaranteed money that is left in the player's contract. So if Baker Mayfield were to be cut in year one or traded, the team would be negated 40 million in cap space due to dead cap. Year two, a 30 million base salary with a 39.6 million cap hit and 29 million in dead space. And in his final year, year three, is 40 million in base salary with a 49.6 million cap hit and a 9.6 mil dead cap space. As contracts go on, generally the dead cap number goes down, so it's safer and safer to cut or trade a player towards the end of their contract, as the guaranteed money and the signing bonuses have been paid out within the first couple of years of the contract. There's not much of the guaranteed money that's left over by the end of the contract. Baker Mayfield back with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after his 1-year contract last season. When I saw that Mike Evans was going to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer again, I knew that Baker Mayfield would be coming back. Mike Evans wouldn't have come back unless Baker was already in talks or close to a contract. The Buccaneers were surprised, as a lot of people were, with how proficient Baker Mayfield was last year with the Tampa Buccaneers. It would be hard not to be with that receiver core. But Baker did really outperform his previous seasons and numbers and what people expected of him. So that garnered a 3-year extension with the Buccaneers. And the Buccaneers, if it doesn't work out in year three, can pretty easily move on from Baker Mayfield without taking too much of a penalty. Next person is going to be quarterback Kirk Cousins, going to his age 36 season, leaving the Minnesota Vikings for the Atlanta Falcons on a 4-year contract, total of $180 million, with a $45 million a year average salary and $100 million guaranteed over the next 4 seasons. He is ranked 13th in all quarterbacks for cap hit and number one on his team in total cap hit. Not surprising. In year one, he's making a $12.5 million base salary with a $50 million signing bonus, $25 million cap hit, and $90 million in dead cap space. In year two, $27.5 million base salary with $40 million cap hit and $65 million dead space. In year three, $35 million base salary with a $57 million cap hit and a $24 million dead cap space number. And in year four, the final year of his contract was a $35 million base salary, a $57.5 million cap hit, and a $12.5 million dead cap space number. Kirk Cousins, obviously coming from Minnesota, where he's played the last few seasons, moving on from Justin Jefferson and KJ Osborne and Jordan Addison. He is now garnering Drake London and Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson. which is a downgrade, but is not a bad core to work with. Overall, I say that Kirk Cousins is in a really great spot to succeed over there at the NFC South. The Saints are sort of hit or miss. They have some good pieces. Derek Carr's a question mark. They seem sort of tied into that contract, so they can't really move on yet, and they're already constrained to the cap as is. The Panthers really aren't in a spot to win, though they've had a really good free agency, as we will talk about later. But Bryce Young just isn't quite there yet. They gained Deontay Johnson via trade from the Steelers, but they still need some work getting him some more weapons. But they've put a decent offensive line in front of him with some of their signings, and it's looking up, but not quite ready yet. And then, obviously, the player we just talked about prior, Baker Mayfield, is his only other competition, really. So, Falcons, Bucks, I can see duking it out to win the NFC South. Next, we'll talk about quarterback Gardner Minshew. Entering his age 28 season with the Las Vegas Raiders is a 2-year contract, $25 million in total contract, $12.5 million average salary with a $15 million guaranteed number, 27 ranked quarterback as far as cap hit goes, with the number 6 cap hit team and number 6 in cap hit on his team. Year one was a $15.8 million base salary, $6 million signing bonus, $8 million cap hit, and a $15 million dead cap space number. Year two was $11.8 million base, $14 million cap hit, and a $7.6 million dead cap space number. And then year three is going to be a void year. A void year is a way that GMs manipulate cap space by adding on years that the player isn't actually on the active roster, but they're still getting paid and are designated to earn money via that team's cap space. So Gardner Minshew is only under contract for 2 years, but has a third year void year where he has a $3 million cap hit. So 3 million of the Las Vegas Raiders cap hit in the 2027 season will be gone via Gardner Minshew, but Gardner Minshew will not be on the active roster unless they extend him, and then they can move that cap hit around and they can move some of that money to free up some space if they want to, which you do see teams do. And next we'll talk about quarterback Sam Darnold. Actually, for a bit, I'm gonna do want to talk about Gardner Minshew for a minute, actually. So Gardner Minshew is brought in by the Raiders for a 2-year, $25 million deal, and their only other quarterback on roster after releasing Jimmy Garoppolo today is Aiden O'Connell, as far as I'm aware. And if it's anybody else, they're irrelevant. No offense to you. But it's gonna be hard to say that Aiden O'Connell is given the job over Gardner Minshew with how much they are paying Minshew to even be a quarterback on this team. Minshew's being paid like a top 23, not 20, the top 32 quarterback in the NFL, so he's being paid like a starter, and he's being paid like a top 10 player on this team, so it's hard to say that they don't play him. But we will see Aiden O'Connell and him duke it out in preseason and in training camp for that job if they don't draft a quarterback. But I'm going to say that Gardner Minshew has the edge right now just because of how much they're paying him and of his experience in the NFL. O'Connell did play last year, but I wouldn't say played nearly enough to give him the edge over Gardner Minshew right now. Next, quarterback Sam Darnold heading into his age 27 season with the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota Vikings losing Kirk Cousins, bring in Sam Darnold on a 1-year, $10 million deal with 8.75 guaranteed. The number 23 quarterback in the NFL and number 6 top player on his team in rankings of cap hit. Just a $2.5 million base salary with a 6.25 signing bonus. That is where the 8.75 million guaranteed comes from. And the other 1.25 million will be in incentives and others. 10 million cap hit, obviously, because of his contract. And the 8.75 million in dead space because of the 8.75 million guaranteed. That's all he's owed, so that's all the dead space will be. Sam Darnold, I expect to be the starter come week one, If they don't draft a quarterback like you might see in my mock draft I did last week or my upcoming mock drafts I might do in the future, I can't see myself really giving the Vikings anything but quarterback because they have JJ now, they have Jordan Addison now. They did lose a few defenders, but they brought in a few as well, which we'll talk about next week when we talk about the free agents on defense. I'm looking at a few on my spreadsheet here that are just like, the Vikings are still in a playoff window. It's hard to say because of their division with the Packers and with the Lions and the Bears getting better if they can actually make the playoffs. But if it's not now or next season, it's not looking great because their team and their defense specifically is aging. But we can hope the best for the Vikings. AJ will not, considering he's a Packers fan, but I wish them all the best. Next, we're going to talk about quarterback Russell Wilson heading into his age 35 season. Age 35 season, he is a Pittsburgh Steeler on a 1-year contract for only $1.21 million. I'm not sure how much of that is guaranteed or how much of it will be the signing bonus because the deal hasn't been released yet. But who do I think will be the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers? It's hard to see Russell go anywhere where he doesn't genuinely have a shot to start. Though he didn't play great in 2022, I think his 2023 season was a lot better. Despite what was going on in the building and what he had to work with, I think Russell Wilson really played well towards the end of the season last year. And I do think he gets the start over Kenny Pickett. I think that building is absolutely through with Kenny Pickett, unless something really turns around. Next, I'm just going to talk about four or five, probably backup quarterbacks. We're going to talk about Jacoby Brissett going into his age 31 season with the Patriots, who right now would be QB1, but I'm almost 99% sure the Patriots draft a quarterback with the number 3 overall pick. So he will end up being the backup, or maybe he might play a game or two before they switch him out. But Brissett is set to make $8 million, and 6.5 of that is guaranteed. Marcus Mariota of the Washington Commanders, another team I expect to draft a quarterback, but they also have Sam Howell on roster still. Going to his age 30 season, he's set to make $6 million, all of it guaranteed. Mitchell Trubisky, brought in by my Buffalo Bills in his age 29 season. A 2-year deal of $5.25 million total and 2.71 guaranteed. Obviously, a backup to Josh Allen. Big, athletic, quarter like Josh. He has made the playoffs as a starting quarterback, so I don't mind it as a backup quarterback. He's better than Matt Barkley or Case Keenum or any of the other backups we've had over the last couple seasons. And then finally, we'll talk about Drew Lock. Age 27 season, going into his first year with the Giants, $5 million total contract, all of it guaranteed. He will be the backup to Daniel Jones if Daniel Jones is still the starter come the 2024 season. That is, if they don't trade down, draft a quarterback, move up for somebody, we'll see what happens with them. But I think they do stick with Daniel Jones just one more year. They're not really in position to draft one of the top guys. I could see a trade down with them, draft a quarterback, maybe pick 11, 12, 13, and then let him sit for a year. Drew Lock is sort of just a camp guy, maybe a rotational or backup. Jameis Winston heading into his age 30 season, signed by the Browns on a 1-year deal, $4 million, all of it guaranteed. And that is the end of our quarterbacks. The running back pool. Wow, the running backs. There are a lot of big name running backs that were signed, as well as some other guys that are set to start or have moved teams. I'd say at least six or seven of these guys do start and are RB1 for their team next season. First being DeAndre Swift, the first running back off the board, going to his age 25 season with his third team, the Chicago Bears, on a 3-year deal worth up to $24 million. 14 of that guaranteed and $8 million a year average. He is the number 9 paid quarterback in according to cap hit, and number 10 on his team at a $3.89 million base salary, $4 million signing bonus, $5.83 million cap hit, and a $14 million dead cap space in his first season, $7.39 million in base salary, $9.3 million cap hit, and a $1.3 million dead cap space number in his second year. And his third and final season with the Chicago Bears is a $6.39 million base salary, $8.8 million cap hit number, and a $1.3 million dead space number. Next, well, and DeAndre Swift is set to be the Bears' lead back. I just can't see them paying somebody like that and not him be the workhorse back. He is a really, really good lead back, as we saw with Detroit, but he can also be a good change of pace back, which we saw with the Eagles, where the Eagles really like to switch up their running backs, whether they're blocking, whether they're running it down inside the hashes near the goal line, or they're passing. They have a lot of running backs that they use, and I could see the Bears maybe using DeAndre Swift in the same sort of facet. If they need a big goal line guy, they might grab somebody. Who's on the roster right now? Apparently nobody. Okay. Just Khalil Herbert and Travis Homer and Roschon Johnson. Roschon Johnson is a really good young back. I like that of Texas. Sort of bigger, heavier back. I like him down in the goal line more than somebody like DeAndre Swift, so you could see Roschon getting some touches down there near the end zone. I could, but next, running back Josh Jacobs of the Green Bay Packers, 4-year deal, $48 million total, with $12.5 million guaranteed, being pegged at the number 10 running back in cap hit and number 9 on his team. Going into year one, he's making a $1.2 million base salary, $12.5 million signing bonus, $5.3 million in cap hit, and $12.5 million in dead cap space. Year two, $1.5 million base salary with $11.3 million cap hit, $9.3 million dead cap space, and a $10.2 million base. In year three, $14.6 million cap hit and a $6.25 million dead space. And going to his fourth and final year, $12.2 million base salary with a $16.6 million cap hit and a $3.1 million dead cap space. Really good deal here for Josh Jacobs. The dead cap space is really, really minimum by year 3-4, which gives them a way to get out if they really want to. I don't see it. Year 2 and 3 are really cheap as far as cap hit goes. It gets up into the 14s and 16 mil in year 3 and 4, which is a little on the higher end, but they get a couple really good years of Josh Jacobs at a cheap price. And if they rebuild their offensive line, I know they've lost a few people this season, Zach Tom, John Runyon, Bakhtiari they cut. If they rebuild their offensive line through the draft and through their next couple of free agency periods where they haven't signed any of the top guys, but I can see them going after some of the draft for sure. And sort of building that line in front of Josh Jacobs, which he didn't have in Vegas, and he really showed it having a down 2023 season. Saquon Barkley going to his age 27 season now at the Philadelphia Eagles under a 3-year contract, $37.75 million total contract, 12 and a half average salary a year with a $26 million guaranteed number. Only the number 18th running back as cap hit is concerned, and number 18th on his team as well. Going to his first season at $1.37 million base salary, $11.6 million in signing bonus, $3.9 million in cap hit, and $25.5 million in dead space. Moving into his year two, you see 11 million base salary, 13.5 million cap hit, and a 25.5 million dead cap number again. Going into his year three season, you see a 12 million base salary with a 15.5 million cap hit number and an 8.4 million dead space. And you see again, like we saw earlier with Gardner Minshew, he has two void years built into his contract. So the Eagles are able to save money in the first 3 years of his contract by taking on a 4.6 million signing 4.6 million cap hit number in year four, and a 4.6 million cap hit number in year five as well. So Barkley will be making a total of 9.2 million in those last 2 years, being years 2028 and 2029, while he is no longer a Philadelphia Eagle still. So the Eagles losing out on 9 mil total in those 2 seasons, but get Saquon for cheaper in the previous three, allowing them to bring him in when they otherwise probably wouldn't be able to. Saquon, obviously, we know who Saquon Barkley is. We know what he can do when healthy. He's going to be the lead back in Philadelphia since they lost DeAndre Swift. I can see him getting a whole lot near the 2060, 2070 touches. Though they do like to pass the ball a lot, he won't have to touch the ball nearly as much as he did in New England. Hopefully, keeping him healthy. New England. He will have to. He won't get the ball nearly as much as he did in New York, hopefully keeping him healthy and allowing him to play the whole season in Philadelphia. Tony Pollard, now a Titan, is no longer a Cowboy after a very short stint as the Cowboys' number one back, and going into his age 27 season under a 3 year contract for 21 million, 7 million average per season, and 10.49 million guaranteed, the number 17th back in the NFL via cap hit, and number 10th total on his team. At a 1.49 million base salary in year one, along with a 6 million signing bonus, 4 million in cap hit, and 10.5 million in dead cap space. In year two, we see a 6 million base with 8.5 million cap hit and a 7 million dead cap space. And in year three, the final season, we see a 6.7 million base number with a 9.25 cap hit and a 2 million dead cap space. I can see an out for the Titans in year three if they want to with that 2 million dead space number, since he is up to a 9.25 million cap hit number in year three. That saves them a total of 7.25 in cap space. By cutting him or trading him there, he'll be going into his age 30 season, that sort of decline for running backs. And with somebody of his size and stature, I can't see him being the elite workhorse back that they might want him to be, paying him almost $10 million. They have guys on roster now, and they could draft people up till then that sort of take his place and replace him, as he is a running back, the most easily replaceable position in the NFL. And then finally, I'm going to talk about running back Derrick Henry going to his age 30 season, now with the Baltimore Ravens, his first year not as a Tennessee Titan. A 2 year deal worth $16 million and a guaranteed number of 9. I'm not too sure on the actual specifics of the Derrick Henry contract yet, as a lot of the players haven't been released or fully signed yet, so the deals are unknown. But if we find out, I will let you know. Running back Devin Singletary is a New York Giant now for 3 years, $16.5 million, 9.5 guaranteed. Is probably the running back one in New York for now. The number 19th running back in accordance to cap hit and 13th on this team. A running back Antonio Gibson, age 25 season, now with the Patriots, 3 year deal worth up to 11.25. That's only 3.75 a season and a 5.3 million guaranteed number. Just outside the top, number 30 at the 29th ranked cap hit spot and 23rd on his team. I see him just being a rotational backup, sort of to Ramondre. Zach Moss, now a Bengal, is age 26 season, 2 years, $8 million total, at 3 million guaranteed. I could see him being the number one for now, or at least for a while, with the trade of Joe Mixon. He's the number 26th in the NFL in cap hit at running back and 16th on his team. And then Aaron Jones, now a Viking, 1 year deal up to $7 million. The rest is unknown. But Aaron Jones expected to be the starter in his now purple uniform, opposed to the green and gold he has been in the last 7, 8 seasons on his ex-rival team, and will have to play the Packers twice a year. Heading into the wide receiver room, wide receiver Calvin Ridley, age 29 season, now with the Titans as of this morning. A 4 year, $92 million deal, 50 guaranteed, 23 on average salary. The rest of the deal is unknown at this time, but we can assume that he will be getting a lot in years 1, 2, and 3, and maybe an out in year 4, or even a void year into year 5 to kind of make up for the room. They still have DeAndre Hopkins in Tennessee. I think that is a really, really good receiver core. If they build around that offensive line, it gives Will Levis a really good chance to play super aggressive like he does too, and play with all of his swagger and confidence, and be able to succeed as well. Darnell Mooney, heading to his age 26 season, now with the Atlanta Falcons, a 3 year, $39 million deal, $13 million average salary, and $26 million guaranteed. Just outside the top 35 at number 37 in total cap hit for all receivers, and to number 12 on his team, at $2 million base salary in year one, with a $15 million signing bonus, $7.5 million cap hit number, and a $26 million in dead space. Year two, $9 million base salary jump, at $14.5 million cap hit and $19 million in dead space. In year three, the final year of the contract, we see a jump to $11 million base salary, up to $16.9 million in cap hit, and down to a $5 million dead cap number. It makes it easy to move. Like most contracts are gonna make it pretty easy to move on from the player in their final year if you wanted to. But with his age and with the weapons that they have, I see him being wide receiver two for the next 3 seasons. I doubt they move Darnell Mooney. I'm sure he'll be a Falcon to the end of his contract, and if he plays well enough, I'm sure it can be extended. Gabriel Davis, going to his age 25 season with the Jacksonville Jaguars now. Former Buffalo Bill, 3 year deal up to $39 million, $13 million average salary, and $24 million guaranteed. As far as cap hit goes, he's the number 46 receiver and number 12th on his team. The Jaguars were really active in these void years on the contracts, as we're going to see coming up with the next one or two Jaguars. They were running out of cap space, so they were able to use these void years to bring in players they otherwise wouldn't have been able to afford. They still have to pay their quarterback if they want to bring him back, as well as the running back, so they want to save money in the future as well. Gabe Davis, in his first season, has a $1.5 million base salary, $11 million signing bonus, with only a $4.7 million cap hit number, and 24 in dead space. In season two, still $1.5 million base salary, with only a $6.7 million cap hit number, and 20.3 million in dead space. Season three, the final season on the team, we see a $12 million base salary, up to a $17.2 million cap hit number, almost more than double the amount from the prior season, almost triple, with a $14.6 million dead cap number still in his final season with the team. And that is because Gabe Davis has not one, not two, but 3 void years added on to the end of his contract, with a total of $10.4 million cap hit in the fourth year, $4.2 million in cap hit in the second void year, and another $2 million cap hit in the final third year, technical sixth year on the contract. But he's not going to be on the team for the fourth, fifth, and sixth year, leaving them with a total of almost $17 million in cap hit of void years on the end of his contract, where he's not even on the team. This is how teams are really able to maneuver the cap and keep players around and bring players in, even if they don't have the amount of space. There's so much that GMs can do with moving cap and adding void years, and even extending players can free up space now, like what the Buffalo Bills did with tackle Deion Dawkins. We'll talk about later. They extended him and moved the cap hit from early seasons, like this season and next season, and were able to slide it down to the later seasons. But Gabe Davis set to be number two behind Christian Kirk in Jacksonville for the next 3 seasons, and they hope he does better than a few catches every other game. Wide receiver Devin Duvernay is joining him on the Jacksonville Jaguars. 2 years, $8.5 million total. And that's a 4.25 a year with 5.5 guaranteed. Devin Duvernay, the number 56 ranked receiver in cap hit and 21st on his team. In year one, making a $1.25 million base salary, $3.25 million in signing bonus, and a $3.35 million in cap hit, as well as a $5.5 million in dead space in his first year of the contract. And in the final second year of his contract, a $2.8 million in base salary, $5.5 million in cap hit, and a $2.8 million in dead space. Wide receiver Mike Evans, as we talked about earlier, is a Tampa Bay Buccaneer again. Re-signed 2 year deal with the Tampa Buccaneers, $41 million, $2.5 million average salary, with $29 million of it guaranteed. He's the number 29th ranked receiver in cap hit and the number 9th in his team. $1.2 million base salary, $21.79 million in signing bonus, $6.9 million in cap hit, and $29 million in dead cap space. In year two, we have an $18 million base salary with a $22 million cap hit and $23 million of dead space. You may be thinking, wow, that number is really high for a number two and final season of his contract. Well, that is because they added not one, not two, but yet again, 3 void years onto his contract. We see these teams with not a lot of cap space, paying a lot of players. That's because these void years are being brought into effect. So this first void year, year three of the contract, we see a $13 million cap hit and $13 million in dead space as well. So he's not even on the team and they're paying him $13 million out of their cap space. In year four, the second void year, $4.3 million cap hit, and in the final year, the third void year, is another $4.3 million in cap hit. So throughout those 3 void years, they're paying another $22 million in cap space over those 3 years for a receiver that's not even on the team. It's tough because they want to win now over the next 2 seasons and have Mike Evans, but they're putting themselves in a bit of trouble in year 4 and 5 of the contract when he's not there and they're still paying him a bunch of money. And finally, wide receiver Michael Pittman signed to the Colts in his age 26 season for 3 seasons. Up to $70 million, $46 million of it guaranteed. The number 14th ranked receiver in ranking of cap hit, a number 3 on his team, though we don't know the exact details of each season. I'm assuming that they don't have any void years in this contract, as the Colts do have a bit of money to go around, but you never know. We'll let you know when I see the rest of the details. There was a few tight end signings, not many to really note. Noah Fant got re-signed by the Seahawks for 2 years, $21 million, details unknown. Kobe Parkinson is a Ram for the next 3 years for up to $22 million, and 15 of that guaranteed. Tight end Gerald Everett is now a Chicago Bear alongside Cole Kmet for 2 years, $12 million, $6 million guaranteed. Tight end Jonnu Smith is now the Miami Dolphins for 2 years, $8.4 million, and 3.96 of it guaranteed. $1.2 million base salary, $2.75 million signing bonus, $2.1 cap hit, and a $3.9 dead cap space number in year one, with a $3.4 million base, $4.6 million cap hit, and a $2.2 dead in year two, and then 3 years of void years with $1.6 million, $550K, and another $550K cap hit in those 3 respective seasons. Tight end John is going to probably be the starter over there in Miami, as they lost Mike Gesicki. He is now a Cincinnati Bengal for 1 year, $2.5 million, $400,000 guaranteed. And that's just the one season that deal. There's no voids on that.
The right tackle class has been sort of weak thus far. Jermaine Illuminor being the first tackle off the board in his age 29 season, now with the New York Giants. A 2 year deal up to $14 million total. Not sure on the exact logistics of the rest of the deal, but can expect him to start at right tackle possibly, depending on how they feel about Evan Neal at right tackle, possibly moving him inside to guard. Illuminor also has guard capabilities. He's more of a swing tackle, though. I'm not sure if he's really much of a starting step sort of tackle. Right tackle Jonah Williams, in his age 26 season, is now an Arizona Cardinal as of today. 2 years, $30 million, $19 million guaranteed. The rest of the deal has not been revealed yet, but we'll move inside to guard, where we talk about the biggest guard contract of the offseason. Guard Robert Hunt, in his age 27 season, leaving the Miami Dolphins and is now a Carolina Panther. As I talked about earlier, they really bolstered up their offensive line and their weapons with these last couple moves they've made, really helping Bryce Young come into his own with a 5 year deal for Robert Hunt, up to $100 million, $20 million a season, and 63 of that guaranteed. The number 19th in cap hit for guards and number 15th in total on his team. A $1.125 million base salary, $26.5 million signing bonus, $6.45 million cap hit, and a $44 million to cap space in the first season. $15.85 million in base salary, $21.65 million in cap hit, and $37.5 million in dead space in the second year. $18.5 million in base salary, $24.3 million in cap hit, and $15.9 million in dead cap space in his third year. $18.5 million in base salary, $24.3 million in cap hit, and $10.5 million in dead cap space in his fourth season, and in his fifth and final season in Carolina, $17.5 million base salary, $23.3 million in cap hit still, and a $5.3 million in dead cap space. His cap hit stays pretty consistent throughout the contract. I wouldn't say it's really front loaded or back loaded. It's pretty even. And he's going to make pretty good money each season. Robert Hunt set to be the starting guard for the Panthers, obviously being paid as much as he is. I'm not sure if it's overpay yet. It's my initial reaction, as I didn't really feel he was worth a little over 20 mil a season. But we'll see if he's worth it. I think they have the money to spare. They want to put something in front of Bryce Young that's better than what they've had. And I suppose Robert Hunt is an above-average guard. I'll give him that for sure. The Patriots bring back Mike Onwenu, offensive guard, in his age 26 season for $3 million, up to $57 million, $36.5 million of it guaranteed, making him the number 13th ranked guard in the NFL in cap hit and number 5 in all of the Patriots roster. $2 million base salary in year one with a $22.5 million signing bonus, $10.8 million in cap hit, and $36.5 million in dead cap space. And his second season, $12 million in base salary, $21 million in cap hit, and $27 million in dead cap space. And in the final season of his contract, $16 million in base salary with a $25 million cap hit and a $7.5 million dead cap space number. This contract is incredibly back heavy. Only at $10 million his first season, ending at $25 million in cap hit his final season, over double what it was to start with. But it saves them money now, as they need to cut and release people. Allows them to bring people in, really build a roster. I expect them to draft a quarterback number 3, and this gives them the freedom to build around him. I believe they were really, really making a push for Calvin Ridley. You don't end up making it work. He goes to the Tennessee Titans. And now you're looking at sort of a backup plan for a receiver. As you cut Devontae Parker, who we talked about earlier, now Philadelphia Eagle, you're really in trouble with that receiver room. They brought back Kendrick Bourne, extended him, but he's not really your number 2 guy, which is sort of something you really want to give a young rookie receiver. He needs that guy he can trust, that guy he can just give it to when he's in trouble, and the Patriots don't have that. The Panthers again signing a guard, Damian Lewis, in his age 27 season. 4-year deal, $53 million total, with $13.25 million a year and $26.215 guaranteed. That makes him the number 25th ranked guard in cap hit, number 19th on the team with a $1.25 million base salary, $50 million signing bonus, $4.9 million in cap hit, and a $26.2 million dead cap space number, $10 million base salary, $14.6 million cap hit, $21 million in dead cap space, $12.2 million in the third season with a $16.7 million cap hit number, and a $7.5 million dead cap space. In the fourth and final season, $12 million in base salary, $16.7 million in cap hit, and a $3.7 million dead cap number. This is a really good deal for the Panthers. Again, I like it. These next 4 or 5 seasons, they're going to be in a really good spot with cap space because they're not paying a quarterback like some teams are. They have Bryce Young, though he is the number one overall pick. He's getting paid a considerable amount for a rookie. He's still cheaper than a lot of the elite quarterbacks around the league. They have extra cap to spare to put receivers and offensive linemen in front of him, so he's going to be sitting real pretty for the next couple seasons for sure. Guard Jonah Jackson, going to his age 27 season with the Los Angeles Rams, gets a 3-year, $51 million total contract with $17 million a year and $34 million of that guaranteed, making him the number 9 guard in the NFL and number 6 on his team in accordance to cap hit. Next, we'll talk about guard John Runyon Jr., going to his age 26 season, signed to the New York Giants, the second offensive lineman they've signed, and a 3-year, $30 million contract, $10 million a year total, and $17 million in guaranteed money, making him the number 18 guard in the NFL and number 11th on his team. The John Runyon deal, we see numbers like $6.5 million cap hit, $10.75 million in cap hit, up to $11.75 million in cap hit in his third and final season. It does go up, but it doesn't end in a bad spot. I would say this is a really good deal for the Giants for a good guard in John Runyon. He didn't wow anybody, and he's not going to be a Pro Bowl, All-Pro sort of player, but he's somebody that you can stick in front of Devin Singletary or Daniel Jones or anybody else you bring in for the next 3 seasons that is going to be above average, and he can move people. He's not going to win against the elite guys, but he's going to be able to move bodies and create opportunities, unlike somebody that they've had in the building before who is perhaps a below average guard and doesn't really create opportunities for the running back. Next, in our final position we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about a few of the centers signed. First, Lloyd Cushenberry, going into his age 26 season, now with the Titans. Another big signing by the Titans here, having a really good free agent class. 4 years, $50 million, $12.5 million a year with $26 million guaranteed. The yearly breakdowns have not been talked about yet, but like I said earlier, I think giving Will Levis these pieces, even if Lloyd Cushenberry isn't somebody he can throw to, it's giving Will Levis a piece to communicate with in his offensive line, an experienced center that can help him point out coverages and incoming defenders, help shift the offensive line, and even give him a few pointers under center, as well as just blocking up front as a center should, keeping the middle clear and keeping the quarterback on his feet. This is another really good signing for the Titans, and I think they're heading in the right direction. And the final center I'm going to talk about is former Bills center Mitch Morse, heading into his age 31 season, now with the Jacksonville Jaguars. His 2-year contract, up to $10.5 million, $7 million guaranteed, making him the number 22 center in cap hit and number 24 on the team. You might think why that number is so low, but like I said earlier, the Jaguars are in love with these void years this season, giving him a $1.5 million base salary, $4 million signing bonus, $2.6 million cap hit, and $7 million in dead cap space in year one. And his final season on the team is a $4.3 million base salary with a $5.4 million cap hit, $4.7 million in dead space, And then in the first of his three void years, it's a cap hit of 2.4 million, followed by a void year of 800,000 and a final void year of 800,000 again. Moving back almost 4 million in cap hit over those three seasons, they're able to bring in Mitch Morse and save some money over the next couple seasons. But you could see these contracts come back to bite them perhaps in the future, as they have over 12, 13 million in void cap hits in the 2029-2028 season. And it's just, they're pushing back a lot of money. We don't know where the cap's going to be at in those seasons. The cap could be higher. I expect it to be higher, as it does go up a little bit each season, it seems like. But we'll see where this puts them in a few years. It's not going to hurt them too bad. It's only 10, 11 million compared to where the cap's at now. It's not all that much, but it's something. And that's, that 10, 11 million is like a whole other free agent that they could be losing out on. So we'll see if over these next two, three seasons, signing these contracts helps them, or if they don't do anything with it, if it helps them get in the playoffs and win and get that sort of winning experience and winning mentality back in the building, then I say it's worth it. And if they go out there and flunk the next three seasons, then they've kind of just hurt themselves. But thank you for joining me at the lunch table today. This is Francis. You can follow us on all socials at Lunch Table Talks, POD. That is Instagram and TikTok. This will be up on Spotify and YouTube at Friday, March the 15th. And on Monday, March the 18th, we will have another podcast episode going over the other 40 free agents that I have listed out here that are on defense, as well as any free agents that might be added by then, and the deals going into those contracts. And then maybe finish off that episode with a free agent tier list. Not the players themselves, but how we think the teams have done thus far in free agency. And hopefully AJ will be with us for that episode. I believe he should be. Sorry, he had some internet issues going into the episode today. But he will be back next episode. So thank you again for joining us for lunch. And I hope you all have an amazing day.